Straight out of Mid-City, you're listening to From NOLA with the Four Stalls in our special segment, Chats with Chip, where I get the rare chance to turn the mic on my father, my mentor, and founder of our firm, Chip Forstall, to dive into the stories, lessons, and laughs behind the legacy. We're unpacking the moments that shaped him, the firm, and our family's journey through it all. So let's get into it. You're listening to From NOLA with the Four Stalls. This is our first debut podcast, pilot podcast, where we interview people from New Orleans. We interview restaurateurs, musicians, artists, all kind of people from New Orleans, as well as just locals and getting to know them. But first, obviously, the first episode has got to be the one and only Chip Forstall, the one and only the CEO, the founder, that started it all. I know you grew up in New Orleans. Right. Tell me what your childhood was like.
Oh, a wonderful childhood. Mm-hmm. Had mom and dad were married. They had 8 kids. They had 4 boys, 4 girls. I'm the second oldest. I have an older sister. We still remain extremely close. In fact, this year, in October, the whole family's going to Italy. I rented a villa, and we're going to all go together. But once a year, we take family vacations. We Zoom at least once a month just to talk and keep up. Not everybody lives here anymore, but I call it Leave It to Beaver family. So I was very fortunate stuff. Grew up in a nice neighborhood. I grew up in the neighborhood, same neighborhood I live in now. I'm 72. I think I've lived in the same neighborhood for 64, 65 years.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
So it was good.
And what were you like as a student growing up?
Oh, I was okay. I tell you what I had. It was, I didn't know it at the time. It was probably had a little ADD going involved.
Sure, I can see that.
Yeah, it was part of my personality, me. But I did good. I did okay in school. When I applied myself, I did really well. I went to St. Pius, good Catholic education, St. Pius 10th Grammar School, De La Salle, De La Salle High School, then I went to UNO, and then I went to Loyola.
So at what point in your life did you say, I want to go to law school?
I was 12 years old. We had a debate class, had debates at St. Pius, and I won my debate, and I said, boy, I could be a lawyer. But at the time, I thought I wanted to be a corporate lawyer. I wasn't sure what kind of lawyer I wanted to be, but I just wanted to be a lawyer.
So it all started from a debate at your elementary school.
School.
And from when you were 12.
Yep.
And sent you on a trajectory.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. That's awesome.
And it was also interesting because I'd been knowing that at the time there was a lot of stuff going on. We grew up in the 60s, so there's a lot of marijuana, a lot of drinking, and all that kind of stuff. But I was able
partying,
to
yeah.
a lot of party and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I also knew that if I partied too much and you get caught with anything, couldn't go to law school because at the time it was like big time and stuff.
Right.
So I stayed on the straight and narrow, and it was kind of interesting because a lot of my buddies who didn't stay on the straight and narrow ended up not even graduating from college and stuff. So '60s was a wild time. I mean, it was a wild time. Y'all think it's wild now, but you have no idea. It was pretty wild back then.
Sure, but stay on the straight and narrow and
yes.
paid off.
Paid
off big
absolutely
time.
Paid off.
Big time. And so you went to law school. At what point did you say, you know, personal injury, this is where I find my niche, this is where I help
Amazing.
People?
Amazing. All right, so first I went – I got a job, had to get a job. I got a job with a defense firm. They defended insurance companies. Actually didn't mind the work as much as I just didn't like the people. I was much more people person. I was much more empathetic and stuff. And being a defense lawyer, you got to be a little more ruthless, I guess, as far as not wanting to help people and stuff because it's like keeping the money from them. I like getting people money. I left there to go to a firm that was it was interesting because I left and I wanted to help people. So I went to a small firm. They didn't pay me hardly anything. I had to eat what I killed. So I started doing some personal injury work, or whatever work I could really do at the time just to make a living. Then I made 3 moves in 1 year all in the same building. I met a guy by the name of Alan Berger who did personal injury work, and we'd talk in the elevator and would have a visit and stuff. And one time he said, look, I'm looking for an associate. Can you come work for me? And we talked about it and stuff. And I went to work for him for 16 years. And then one day he came in and told me that it's time to split the practice. And what's happened was I was unhappy with the way the money was split because I was bringing in 90% of the money and 90% of the clientele. And I just wanted a little bit bigger percentage. And he said, we should split the practice on Friday. We told the office on Monday, everybody said they wanted to come with me. We had some other discussions, and I left. And that was 25 years ago. Never looked back.
And so I definitely want to talk about, you know, when you started your own firm, you know. Okay. But leading up to that, I mean, what inspired you, you know, to launch your own firm and to give you that courage.
Let me tell you what it was. First of all, let me tell you something to go back. So Alan was doing personal injury, and I ended up really liking personal injury because I like really helping people. You know, I've said this my whole entire career. It's not about making money. It's about helping people. And that's been the motto of this firm since the day one. It's not about how much money we're going to make. It's about how we can help people. Anybody who's listening and wants to start their own practice, I'm going to tell you right now, help people, the money will come. Okay, it's all about helping people. And people understand that. People truly, I believe, if you're sincere about helping people, people understand that and they can feel that. And that's why to this day, 80% to 85% of the business I get is from old clients and referrals because I treat people right. But anyway, so what happened was we split. I mean, he actually wanted me to come back because we found that everybody was going to come with me and I was taking most of the business. He said, come back. But I said, no, because I wanted to treat the employees better. I wanted I treated the employees like family. I still do. Mm-hmm. Because Lawrence has been with me 36, going to be 37 years. Deborah's 35, 36 years. Carmen's 25 years. My assistant Allison's 22. I mean, most of the people have been with me over 10 years. A lot of them have been with me over 15 years. So we had a difference of opinion on how to treat people. I was much more involved in their personal lives and helped them out when they needed help. When Carmen got married, I bought her wedding dress and danced with her at the wedding.
That's amazing.
Because her daddy had passed away. Mm-hmm. So they're all like family. But So I started the firm, my own firm, and it grew. I mean, it just grew.
By treating people right, and yes. I mean that, and is that how you attribute your success to all your clientele? And
absolutely, without a doubt. I mean, the only reason I went on TV was because I never miss work. I mean, there was years where I would never miss a day of work. And I remember getting sick one time, and I was home, and I watched TV during the day. And at the time, they were advertising on TV, and I said, "Oh Lord, there's more people advertising. If I don't advertise, I may have a problem." And the other story I tell, which is absolutely a true story, guy comes into the office one day, the office where I was sharing space with some other people in my own building now, but sharing space at the time, and he goes, "I want to see my lawyer." What's his name? I can't remember his name. He did me a good job, but I want to see him and stuff. Well, who is he? I'm not sure. What did he look like? He's a little short, bald guy. Well, that was me. Then I realized, okay, I said, you know what? I need to remind people out there who I am. Again, that's why our advertising is a little bit different because, you know, I just want to remind my clients that I've represented that I'm there, and it works.
That's amazing. And so we get to the part of starting your own firm. Mm-hmm. We're going through the first year's room. Tell me the biggest struggles, biggest hurdles you had to cross for the first couple of years starting your own firm.
I think it was just organizing everything because I had different ideas than my ex-partner. I like a little bit OCD, a lot of OCD. so I was able to develop systems that were particular. What I find is the more particular you can be with your file, the less problems you'll have later on down the line, the faster things go. So I think it was just setting up all the systems because I had a good staff because the people who came with me were like family. In fact, there's still, you know, we're talking 25 years ago. We still have 3 or 4 people who from this original staff. And some of the people who left, they left because they didn't want to work for me. They left because they retired or they moved. So I think it was just basically getting everything set up the way I wanted to get set up and stuff. I tell people, you know, in the old days, it was just me, one attorney, 3 paralegals. I used to get 100 phone calls a day. And that wasn't gonna last forever because, you know, back then I was able to do all of that because I had a lot more energy. But I figured I needed a little more help. So I was able to grow and add attorneys and add more staff. and picking the right people. The rule in the office is if you can make 5 years, you're good for life.
That's true.
So it was able to, you know, had to weed out a lot of people because, you know, they were the drama. You know, one girl came in and couldn't get along with my assistant, who's like my daughter. If you can't get along with her, you're out the door, no matter who you are. So it was weeding through people and getting the right staff. But we have a wonderful staff now. They're all like family. In fact, I take them on a cruise every other year as a group. And the only rule is we have to all eat dinner together. You know, it's good. I like coming to work.
Yeah,
I love my clients. I love coming to work. It's good.
Yeah, it's an amazing culture here, and it's really grown into this. I mean, at least for I can say, it's grown into this team of A players. So I can really appreciate that.
Let me tell you about Jonathan. It's funny because the other
Lord.
You know, no, let me tell you. So the other day we found a picture of Carmen 25 years ago. And Jonathan was 10 years old. They were standing side by side. Carmen just made 50. We had a wonderful birthday party for her. And the picture was Jonathan, who was 10 years old. Carmen was 25. Carmen's now 50 and Jonathan 35. So they took a picture. Wow. I got y'all to take a picture the other day because I'm going to have the two pictures side by side stuff. So it's been the truth of the matter is, I mean, don't get me wrong, I like making money and stuff and I've done well. But I think the biggest accomplishment is having my son come in. And not, I tell people all the time, it's easy. He could have come in, worked 9 to 5, got a check, and just went home and not bothered. But he hasn't. He's not only is he taking over, he's pushing me out the door. I told him I have to stay and take care of all my clients. And he said, well, I can take care of them. I said, no. I had somebody come in the other day who'd known me for 40 years.
Yes.
He likes Jonathan. He was coming to me before Jonathan was born. I got to see him.
Yeah, nothing wrong with me. He's been seeing Chip for 40 years.
I mean, they're friends. I've been to their house. I've been to their weddings. So those people I have to see.
Of course.
I do like seeing my current clients. Just let y'all know out there, the people who are current, I love seeing y'all because I love people. So it's all good. But, yeah, he's pushing me out the door. But I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere.
So going back to, because I want to go into that history, but going back to when you started the firm, and you know you've been here since you've launched, right? You haven't moved locations, that's the entirety of your firm has been at this one location.
Let me tell you why I go to church and why God's been really, really good to me. So my ex partner told me on a Wednesday at 10 o'clock, and that we were going to split. And at the time, one of my favorite sayings, which still is, it is what it is. I just have to accept things and stuff. And I've learned that kind of the hard way, but I learned it and stuff. And so I said, okay. Well, that day I had lunch with a friend of mine who was much older, but he was a mentor. And we went and had lunch. I told him what happened. He says, oh, congratulations. He says, you're going to do a lot better. I said, oh, Lord, okay. He said, no. He says, you're going to do better. In fact, I was right because I doubled my income the first year. But we got in the car and we drove around looking for a spot. And the people that were in this spot had just left the same month that my ex-partner told me we split in the practice. So I found the spot that same day, started talking to people, negotiated a lease. Best of all, I got a long-term lease, but I got permission to buy the property if they ever sold it. So they eventually had to sell the building and had to deal with me. So now I own the building with I'm not a partner in the building, but a guy who's father owned the building, but he had so we owned the building together. So yeah, so I've been here for 25 plus years.
Wow. So when you started 25 years ago, at what point in the firm's life did you say we did it, we made it?
Let's see, maybe tomorrow. let me tell you why I say that and stuff. And I know you think I'm being cute, but I'm not. What I found out is you know, I don't measure success by money. I know it sounds crazy, but I don't. What I measure success by is how well we're doing as a team. And the nice part about having you here is that all the stuff that I'm not good at or I don't understand, you help with. TikTok, social media, the podcast, all of this stuff. And I was always afraid of being left behind. I tell the story all the time. At one point in time, General Motors sold 51% of the cars in the country. They got complacent. They got behind. They lost market share. They eventually ended up going bankrupt because they didn't change with the times. Change is hard. The older you get, the harder it is. But I've realized a long time ago, you have to change. You have to adapt. Where years ago, I had less staff, but we were working too hard, and I was not being efficient enough, so we had to add more staff on. So it's the growth part. So I always look at my firm as not anything but a growing entity. So we have to always change, adapt, make things better. One of the nicest things about what I like, and that's why I'm never going to go anywhere permanently, I always like improving. So I'm always looking for ways to improve things. I read books, I'll read articles. In fact, we just recently joined this organization. Can I say that?
Mm-hmm.
CRISP? Yeah, we joined something called CRISP, which is an organization that helps lawyers become better, not lawyers, better business people. What I've done is I have really good staff, good lawyers, but that's the only part of the business and stuff. The other part of the business is, you know, maintaining the clients, insurance, procedures, safeguards, making sure the clients get their phone calls answered. We have recently something my son did. We got an app that makes communication a lot better. So the answer is success. We've been very fortunate. And obviously we're successful because we've been around and we have a good clientele and we do good business. And, you know, like I said, you know, people know us and they come back to us. But it's always a growing thing, which I like because, again, you bring that freshness and that energy. I am getting a little bit older.
Absolutely. Well, it is, you know, it is sometimes a struggle, but I think overall, you know, all my friends and your brothers and sisters, family members, everybody asks me, how do you like working with your dad? And, you know, I tell everybody I really do enjoy it, but it's not always smooth sailing. And I think that's that's okay.
Yeah.
That is okay because I think it's good that we butt heads sometimes. And,
yeah, we do.
And we do. But it's constructive. So yeah. That's you know.
In my defense, mm-hmm. I'm trying to make sure you don't make any of the mistakes that I made in the past. That's
fair
why
enough.
We butt heads and stuff. And I'm trying to, you know, yeah.
Fair enough.
And to get it to you, his ideas. I'll be honest with you. I don't think there's been any ideas that you've come up with that I've said no to and that I don't like, at least willing to try.
Sure.
I don't want to get lost again. I don't want to get lost in the weeds as far as the technology and all this other stuff because everything here is about the clients. Every single thing we do is about the clients, how we meet them, how we take care of them, how we talk to them, how we handle them, how we make sure that they're happy and satisfied because that's the single biggest thing that sometimes lawyers don't realize. Even though you do a good job for a person, if you don't treat them with respect and if you don't treat them nicely, they're not going to come back and they're not going to be happy.
Right.
And it's not always about the money. It really isn't. It's about just treating people with respect.
Right. Absolutely.
I was very fortunate because my daddy at the time when I was growing up was very, I don't know if I'm going to call him liberal, ahead of his times as far as treating people right. And he always taught me that. You treat people with respect.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. Well, we're going to end it today on that note. There's a lot of questions that we can ask you about your history, about, you know, getting the firm up and running. Mm-hmm. We kind of just glazed over the top.
Yeah, we can do it again some more.
There's going to be many more. Don't worry.
Okay.
One thing that I'm going to that I will end every podcast with all my guests is a little rapid fire questionnaire. So,
okay.
Real quick, what is your favorite New Orleans restaurant?
Mandina's.
Mandina's, why is that?
Because you can get anything you want there. My answer is if I die and go to heaven, when I go to heaven, because I'm going to go to heaven. And God says you can only eat at one restaurant the rest of your life, it would be Mandina's. They have specials every day. They have steak, they have seafood, they have Italian food, they got poor boys, they got everything, and the food is unbelievably good.
And it's always good.
Always good.
All the
consistent,
time.
Always.
All the time. All
and
the
I can
time.
Even tell you what the specials are each day of the week. Go ahead.
Go to Snowball Flavor.
For me, spearmint.
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 Old school.
Old school.
Old school.
Spirit
with that AOL account, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
All right. And I have a lot more, but I'm going to save some for later.
All right.
Just for the viewers to know, we're going to do this probably once or twice a month where Chip and I sit down and we talk. Last question, one word to describe your career. It's a tough question, but if you had to.
One word to describe my career.
Or a phrase.
Dedicated.
Dedicated. It's a great word, and I can agree with that.
Dedicated.
Good. So that is it for today. Again, we'll be doing this more often with Chip, and we'll look forward to interviewing him and getting some more history. And stay tuned for the next podcast. Thank you, guys.